From 1 till 4.
Afternoons with Matt Webb. Cambridge
105. So it is now 2:30 and I'm pleased to welcome to Cambridge 105 this afternoon Claire Wallace from Campsite. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having us here.
Absolute pleasure. Of course, you are Cambridge 105's Charity of the Month for August. It's a pleasure to have you as Charity of the Month. Just tell us about Campsite very briefly for people who aren't familiar with the charity, first of all.
Okay, so Campsite is set up for it's a visually impaired organisation charity. It's there for, we have lots of different services. I myself am an emotional support worker, so I'm there to obviously help people emotionally. We have equipment services, we have rural groups set up around Cambridgeshire, and also we have Campsite in the Fens as well. So there's lots of different things going on just to be there to help visually impaired people. So.
And just tell us about your journey and how you got involved in Campsite.
Okay, so my journey began when I was 25 years old. I had some really bad major headaches. I then ended up going to the opticians to see if I needed glasses. I lost really slight vision on my right hand, top right hand vision of both eyes. I then ended up going to the opticians, putting glasses on, and they didn't help. So then I was referred to Clinic 3, which I'd never been to, at Addenbrooke's Hospital. So I started going along the emotion of the conveyor belt. If anybody's been there, they understand that it's, you're in one seat and then you moved along to the next seat and moved around. So that was what happened. And then I had an eye chart test, a field test, and lots of different tests. And then I was pulled into a side room and I was informed that they'd found something obviously wrong with my eyes, but it was actually coming from my brain and not my eyes. I had to wait 24 hours for an MRI scan, which then showed the neurologist that I had a blood vessel that burst in my brain, which has scarred the signal from the brain to my eyes. So that's where my eyesight loss was coming from. I was informed that it would never happen again and kind of continued with my life. It would never burst again, and that was to be the end of it. And I think because I was so young, I didn't really kind of understand the escalation of how serious it was. It then continued to actually burst two more times within the space of 6-7 years. And then I was referred on to see a neurosurgeon, which is kind of, I guess, the first time that I thought this is getting quite serious. I then obviously was informed that I had to have an operation because given the time span of three bursts in 7 years, it was actually scabbing over and getting bigger every time. So by that point, they were obviously quite concerned that if it burst again, it would end up killing me. I had to have the brain operation. I was obviously asked if I wanted it. I had to make the decision to have the brain operation, which would have been in November of 2009. And I decided to have that. Obviously, I knew I needed it. I then said I would have it, but I wanted to have one final Christmas with my family. So I planned the best Christmas. We had the best Christmas ever. And within that, I was also planning parts of my funeral because I didn't want to leave my three children and my husband with the aftermath of having maybe to plan a funeral. So that, and then the first time I ever heard about Campsite was actually in the hospital. I had to be registered partially sighted before I had the operation. A lady called Annette came out and was part of the community team who came out and filled out the forms because we had to go on benefits, which had never been on. And then I was then also told about the emotional support groups, but obviously this would have been after the operation. So the operation came and went. My husband then had to become my full-time carer, which means they had to come and help fill some more forms out. I was also then again informed about the emotional support groups. You can have one-to-ones or within the groups, but at that point I felt as though I was so lucky to be alive and I didn't want to moan about anything. You know what I mean? I didn't want to moan about my eyesight loss. I didn't want to moan about how things were, how life was. So I then declined and we continued with my life for 2 years. It was two long, hard years. To lose your sight is the worst thing ever. For me, it was the worst thing ever. And I, the worst thing was I didn't feel as though I could moan about it because I was still alive. And you have to moan about it. You have to grieve. Losing your eyesight is a grief. The day came when I did say, I do need help. You know what I mean? I need to talk to someone. So I rang Campsite and I said, I need to talk to someone. I had one-to-one counselling sessions to start with. And then an emotional support group came up. Which I leapt at the chance to go on. Really didn't know what to expect. So I turned up in this room and there was four other people in the room and obviously two work colleagues. And yeah, we all look the same. That's the, half the problem of being visually impaired. You can't tell the difference between a visually impaired person and someone who can see. So sat around this table and for 2 hours just to be able to talk to people and explain to people what's been going on for me, how I'm feeling, how low I am. Bearing in mind, I was 2 years on from my operation. Yeah, I have amazing friends, amazing family, you know what I mean, who support me so much. But 2 years on, they're kind of in some ways thinking maybe you should be getting over this now or moving on. But I couldn't move on. And other people understood that. And in some ways, hearing other people's stories as well enabled me to progress and actually move on from where I was. So hand on heart, I can honestly say going to the emotional support groups with CAMSITE was the first day of the rest of my life. So yeah,
I think a lot of people forget about the mental health implications of people who lose their sight. I mean, it is as you said, it can be a very difficult time of people's life, and obviously you told us your story about how desperate things got for you, and obviously yeah, the support that your partner gave you and other people as well. When it comes to sort of mental health support, especially for people who are blind or visually impaired, do you think that's really important going forward across someone's recovery journey?
Definitely. I mean, With any illness or you obviously have different symptoms going on. So with the eyesight loss, definitely my journey, my story is, I obviously had the eyesight loss, but I didn't feel I had the right to moan about it because I was still alive. And that probably in some ways held me up from grieving, and losing your eyesight is a grief. So it's the grieving. You go through the anger, you go through the frustration, you go through all the symptoms of obviously a loss of something. So yeah, there's definitely, but yeah, the depression does definitely play a huge part within myself. It did, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying the general public, but definitely with myself, yeah, it's a huge part.
And you've gone on to work for the organisation and be involved. Just tell us about what you do now.
Yeah, so I realised how much CAMSITE, you know, I mean, as I said, transformed my life, changed my life. And I knew that I wanted to help in any which way with CAMSITE. I was a volunteer to start with, and I've trained, done all the training to become an emotional support worker at CAMSITE. Emotional support groups are set up for visually impaired clients that obviously are going through a difficult time. It could be anything, you know what I mean? You can be any age. And this is the thing. It's not just an age category where you are not in that category, you can't come along, whatever age you are. And we also do emotional support for the carers of people who are visually impaired, or, you know what I mean, parents or children of a visually impaired person. So the emotional support place is somewhere that you can come and just say how things are, how life is, how difficult things are, or maybe even how good things are. Some days are good days and some days are bad days. But it's that one place that you can come and you're not going to be judged and you're not going to be told what to do. And it's just somewhere that you can also then interact and maybe meet other visually impaired people, or even just become part of CAMSITE, because it's like a family environment.
So a lot of the time it's just getting those courageous conversations going, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And you have to be in the right frame of mind to do it. And we understand when we go and see clients or people refer clients, and we obviously explain what services we have amongst CAMSITE, but we have to be very obviously aware of it's when it's right for the client. You can't force this on anybody. And like I said, with someone may turn up 2 months, 2 weeks after losing their sight, whereas some people like myself may take 2 years. And it's that journey process that's down to the actual individuals.
So. Now, you touched upon that you had to do some training to do the role. What sort of training did you do?
I've done bereavement counselling with crews. I've also trained level 2, level 3, and just completed level 4 counselling. So in some ways, we do like to call it emotional support because that's what it is. I mean, but it's, in some ways, it's also, I am a counsellor, so I am there. I've been highly trained. And my colleague Annette also, who's been there a lot longer than me and is a lot more qualified than me, she's also really good at what she does. I think she would say that I have more empathy, whereas she shouldn't say that, but she's very good. But if I have a client sitting in front of me, I can actually say to them, I totally understand what you're going through, because I do. So it's
I think that's the thing, going from being a user of a service to actually working for the organisation, and you then go and sort of help other people. Yeah. You've got that sort of insight into the organisation from a client perspective, which some people who may have not had sight loss would understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't want to take it away from anybody who works there, because they are all amazing at different services. But yeah, I think for me to actually start it off as a client and then go to a volunteer and actually work there, to do the full circle, just to see how it all works, you know what I mean? And the whole, the full circle. Yeah, it's just an amazing organisation to work for. So
now, your story is very inspiring, I must say. And you must meet some other inspirational people in your line of work now.
Yeah, lots of different people. Yeah, it's actually really interesting because probably 90% of my friends now are visually impaired or in the visually impaired world or work amongst campsites. So yeah, I definitely hear some stories. And sometimes when I hear, that's the good thing also about the emotional support groups, when people go to the emotional support groups, as I said before, they know that obviously their story and they hear other people's story. And 9 times out of 10, you will hear people come out of the emotional support group saying, wow, I'm not that bad, or I'm not so bad as what someone else is. And I think that's a really good coping mechanism. I mean, I'm sure they are just as bad, but for them, that enables them to feel as though they're not alone. And it's also, we have a follow-on group, so when they leave the emotional support groups, it's not so much as though they're left in limbo again. We have a group set up so they can then go along and meet other people which have been on emotional support groups. So it's just enabling them to have somewhere safe to talk. So it's an eight-week session, so you have 2 hours every week. So it kind of gives lots of things happen. And just because you've been on one particular group doesn't mean in months or years to come you can't come back on another. I myself, when I lost more sight after training with my guide dog, I was then registered severely sight impaired. I instantly knew that I needed to come back on emotional support groups. So it's that kind of, just that turnaround of, I knew it was safe. I knew it was what was I needed. So it's that place that people can know that just because you've been once doesn't mean you can never come back. Campsite are always there. So,
yeah. And for Campsite to be recognised as Cambridge 105's Charity of the Month, it must be really important for you and the work you do to raise the profile.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, emotional support to me is the, I shouldn't say it, but it is the be-all and end-all. I mean, I know the other services are amazing as well, and I'm not saying they're not, but Campsite as a whole, yeah, I don't know what I would have done without them. And I hear many times I don't know what other people would have done about them. And we just assume that every place around England has something like Campsite, but not many places do, so yeah.
Do you think it's something that should be rolled out across other parts of the country, for other charities that do site-related services?
Yeah, definitely, 100%, yeah. I mean, I just expect that they would have such a good service as Campsite around, but from what I've heard from clients, obviously coming from different areas of the country, that there's nothing like Campsite, so yeah.
If people want to find out more information about the courses that you do and the things that you do, 01223 420033, and your website is also very good, has a whole host of information on it, and that's at campsite.org.uk.
That's so correct, yeah.
Excellent stuff. It's been fantastic talking to you, Claire. Thank you very much for sharing your very inspirational story. I'm sure it's touched quite a few of the listeners listening today. And keep up the excellent work in raising the profile of sight loss in Cambridge. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.